I don't know whether there have been more important Boxing Day tests and Australian Opens for this town, given the reawakening we are about to go through or have embarked upon. The director of the Australian Open is Craig Tiley. He's done a power of work in the past month or so to land the tournament. Craig, it's great to have you on the program.
Thanks, Jared. Good to be talking again, especially this time of the year.
Yes, it is. Your tickets are on sale. Do you get an instant indication when the possibility for the public to snap up tickets happens?
Yeah, no, we do. We went to public sale at noon on Friday, and instantly there was a rush to get tickets, and which is fantastic. And then of course the 6 weeks leading into that we'd been in pre-sale, and our pre-sale numbers each week we were breaking the record of 2020. So that was great news, and we've had a really strong beginning of public sale. We do think it's going to be continue to remain strong throughout, and we think there'll be a big push again at the end when people have confidence about going back to events knowing that they're safe.
So it is a bit of a social study on that front, isn't it, Craig? We'll live through that with the Ashes, and then through the Australian Openers. We have full crowds, which is fantastic. And what is the willingness of people and the eagerness of sports fans?
I think that's exactly right. And we're all going to find out a lot. But our first indication has been that fans, they want to check and make sure that if there's any COVID-related actions that are taken, that they have the insurance on the refunds of their ticket, which we have 100% of the Australian Open, and then also wanting to just have a look and see what everyone else is doing. So we believe it's going to be a slow movement, this is what we believed before we went to public sale. The public sale for us has been really strong, so maybe that trend will change. But I don't think it's one of those immediate situations where you suddenly come right back to your record levels immediately. I think it's going to be, this is our prediction, it'll be a slower process. But with that being said, you know, we're really enjoying a strong uptake early.
Was it the source of some comfort that right on the cusp of going to the public sale, that's all restrictions on crowd levels were lifted?
No, absolutely. And we always knew that when we got to a high vaccination rate in our community, that there will be restrictions that be lifted across the community. And that has happened. And at the event, the event will be one of the safest places to be, because we'll still be practicing safe distancing and the right hygiene protocols, and everyone on site will be vaccinated. So going to events now in Victoria are going to be amongst the safest places to be. But certainly having the restrictions at the point where we can be at capacity and have a COVID-safe plan that works for everyone, and where people just feel like it's almost returned to normal. And I think that's going to be a special experience for everyone. We've got some fantastic initiatives planned for our fans and as well as for the players. So we're looking forward to getting going.
You navigated extreme complexity to stage the tournament earlier this year. What's the passage of the past 6 months been for you, Craig? Have you had any days where you thought, I don't know how we land it again?
It's a great question. I think actually this event has been a lot harder to plan for than last year. Last year, pretty much the whole world was locked down. So any opportunity to put on an event and have professional players travel from around the world, we were the first to do it globally. And I think it was a successful event in 21. Obviously, we had very few fans compared to other years. And that was because of the lockdowns. Then we thought, okay, we're through this now, then we'll be out of the pandemic, get on the other side, and it'll be a lot easier. But we learned very quickly that was not going to be the case. A lot more variables for this event. Vaccinations is one, border closures, border entries, you know, getting into the country, coming from, again, countries that have now high infection rates and low vaccination rates, and how we manage that, testing regimes. So it's a lot more complex, a lot more variables than we've had before, and a lot more uncertainty, and a lot later, because it's only now that we've got the conditions. So we've got to turn this around really quickly. But that's the environment we're in, and everyone's going to have to learn to be a lot more agile and flexible and adjust a lot quicker. And I think that this is not just going to be for 22, but we're fully expecting it to go into 23 and beyond. But and finding a way to create a COVID normal environment. But no, it has been a lot harder. No one in the company has really taken a break since November 2019. So we've decided to give everyone a massive break in April next year and make sure everyone's doing the same thing.
Was there ever a contingency, Craig, which either didn't have the tournament in Melbourne or didn't even have the tournament in Australia?
There have been moments where there's been uncertainty as to whether that was going to be realistic. But we just really, as an organization, as a team, have hung in there. I mean, I'm mostly proud of the fact that we've kept the organization whole right throughout this. And hopefully we come out of it in the same position. We certainly plan to do that. And for everyone to really just take a breather, reflect a little bit on what they've achieved as a company and as a group of people, because it's been absolutely remarkable. And the one thing I have to say is that we wouldn't be where we are today and in Melbourne if we hadn't had the unwavering support of the Andrews government, because I think they've wanted nothing more than to have the event as a stake in the ground and as a milestone point to show the world that we're open and show the world that we've actually really managed this well. So that's going to be an opportunity, I think, for the cricket and for tennis.
So the tension around the vaccination piece, which played out across a pretty intense week in Melbourne, how critical was it that the tournament reflected the values of this community, which cherishes this event so much?
Well, I think absolutely. I mean, that was table stakes for us. That's a position that we've always held. There was a lot written and said about, you know, Tennis Australia's attempt to have the vaccination requirements changed. And none of that was true. We have always said from the beginning that we'll follow the direction of the... We support, most importantly, and follow the direction of health and the chief health officer as well as the government. And we've never not done that. Certainly there are some players. It was interesting, 6 weeks ago, only 50% of the global playing group, because each of them are independent contractors. They don't have a union that dictates what they can do. They make their own decisions. But 50% were vaccinated 6 weeks ago. Today, more than 85% are. And we take a lot of credit for that because we put a vaccination requirement on it. We think by the time we get to January, it'll be between 95 and 100% vaccinated, because if you're not, you cannot play. There are one or two players that obviously have medical conditions, as there are in the community. There's a medical condition exemption, but it's a very high bar to get across. But everything's exactly in line with what the health mandates are, and so it should be, because there shouldn't be any preferential treatment for anyone coming into the state compared to what the regular community is going through.
So, how much swings, Craig, on whether Novak Djokovic is here or not?
It's a great question, and I wish it's one I could answer. I have spoken to him and his team, and interestingly, he with no one he's shared his status. He's really just asked the question. He's made a statement. Two things. One is that he believes that what you say around your medical conditions and status is private to you, and he also believes that people should have the right to choose. That's his choice. We've made it very clear, coming to play the Australian Open, the requirement is to be vaccinated. And if you're vaccinated, and that's against the approved vaccines as well. And if you're vaccinated, you play. And if you're not, you're unable to play the Australian Open. And that's the condition for 2022. And so everyone's aware of that. We'd love, you know, Novak's won 9 Australian Opens. I'm sure he wants to get to 10. He's on 20 Grand Slam titles, as is Rafa Nadal, who is coming, and Roger Federer. And so one of them is going to surpass the other. And I don't think Novak could want to leave that beat to someone else. So it's still a question that needs to be answered. But we'll see. Everyone understands the conditions of entry.
Are you at all concerned what the public reaction to Djokovic might be? Or if he comes and he's vaccinated, that hopefully that soothes what you well know has been a really hot topic?
It has been a hot topic, and I've answered more questions on that than I think anything else. But our public's the best sporting public. There's no question in the world, because we go to sporting events. We appreciate greatness. I mean, he is, you know, he's one of the greatest players of all time, and I think our public appreciates that. I mean, he's had a view on something which some share, the majority don't. And I think there'd be fair treatment of Novak. And one thing for sure, if Novak's here in January, we'll know that he's vaccinated. So regardless of someone's position, all the players will need to be and show proof of vaccination even to come into Victoria. So we've got the majority of the players in that position, and that has been a journey in itself as well, because it's not a requirement anywhere else in the world. And but it does also indicate the importance of the players wanting to come to Melbourne.
Craig, we played unsuccessfully a little bit of listening comprehension with Nick Kyrgios. Whatever did Nick mean with his comments around cancelling the Australian Open? Have you spoken to him about it?
Yeah, I don't think he certainly didn't mean. His communication to us it didn't mean that the Australian Open should be cancelled, because this is the place that he has the most supportive crowd anywhere in the world. And people know when you go and watch Nick Kyrgios, you're going to be entertained. And he knows that. So I think that there was a little some context confusion in it. And as you know well, Nick wears his heart on his sleeve. He says things that are on his mind, and that's what creates so much intrigue with him. And he's a great tennis player. And we know when he's on fire, he can beat anyone in the world. And we hope he gets to January, and every single day he's on fire and ready to compete and do well, because the Australian public would really enjoy that. But one thing you get assured with Nick, it's always going to be a hot topic, and it's always going to be of interest.
You've got two huge local draw cards separate to that. Ash Barty, who's the reigning Wimbledon champion and the world number one, and Dylan Alcott, whose plane is his final professional tournament. It gives you two superb showcases as you do your planning, doesn't it?
It does. Unfortunately, Dylan's going to make this his last event, and I've tried to persuade him to continue, but that's not been successful. But it'll be fantastic. What we're planning on doing is, in these matches, we want to break the world record for the most number of people watching wheelchair tennis. And so we're going to showcase it. We're going to highlight it, put it in prime time, and enable anyone to get a chance to see it. So we're excited about that. And then when it comes to Ash, of course, I mean, what a great year she's had. She's one of the few players for the third straight year will end the year ranked number one in the world, and she's coming in as a last year semi-finalist, and we would like nothing more for her to be into the finals. We've moved the women's semi-finals to Thursday night, the second week, as a prime time show, and then we'll play the two men's semi-finals on the Friday. So we'd love to see Ash on Thursday night, and again on Saturday night in the finals. And we do, the men as well, together on the women's side, on the men, we've got some great young players, and it's an exciting time for Australian tennis at the same time as we're enjoying the boom years like the 80s as far as participation rates. I mean, we've got more than 35% up in participation across the country. So we're very pleased about that too. So a lot of things are going really well for the sport, and we'd like nothing more than to showcase, some great tennis to the fans, and to come out and enjoy our beach house, enjoy the world's best chefs. We're launching now, with now the conditions of crowds, we're launching now a music program, which we'll be announcing again soon. So it's going to be a fantastic summer.
I asked this question just with an ounce of trepidation. Can anything trip you up from here, Craig, or do you feel like you are through it and clear to plan as you need to?
I don't want to answer that question.
Yes, fair enough.
But anything can happen. We've learned that. I think we're more prepared for things than we have been before. I'm incredibly proud of our community, Melbourne, and the people at Tennis Australia that have been through a real tough time on being able to pull this off. And we will pull it off, and we'll make everyone proud. And I think when we get to the end of January, hopefully in the Boxing Day test and in the tennis, we can look back and say, like, we actually are back. We've found a way to manage the virus. To beating it's going to be very difficult, but to manage it, we're keeping everyone safe. We're doing the right thing, and we showcased a global event. The Australian Open gets beamed into every single country in the world, and we'll be excited to be able to showcase that and have a lot of narrative around what a great city Melbourne is and a great country we live in. And I think that January is going to be a chance for us to brag about that.
We look forward to it, Craig. It's a critical part of our reawakening. So see you in January, and the very best of luck with the planning.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Jared. Thanks as always, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Craig Tiley, the Tournament Director of the Australian Open.